This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 10/8/2020, and this is show number 134. Well, Nick, it's Thursday. That means it's jobless claim reports. What do we got?
Yeah, so the initial claims report was released this morning at 8:30. It came in at 840,000 claims. So basically, a little bit less than expected. I think they were expecting 860,000. A little bit better than expected. Continuing claims, though, decreased by 1 million to, I believe, 10.976 million from an upwardly revised 11.979 million from the prior week. So it's getting better. It's getting a little bit better out there, but it's still slow going, but it's moving in the right direction. That's a positive there. And if these governors in the blue states would open up, things get better much, much sooner. But things are starting to improve. So we'll leave it at that. I don't know if we can make more out of it. But the markets are a little bit higher today as well. So that's a positive there.
Yeah, and that was after the vice presidential debate, for whatever that's worth. And man, like, some people are just not ready for prime time.
Yeah, I don't think some people are ready for it. If anybody watched the debate, it was a pretty clear-cut decision, in my opinion. But they may call me biased, so what can I say? But I don't think she's in the camp that she's really ready to not only be the vice president, but think about it. Joe Biden 78 years old. I don't know how long his run will continue, even if he did win. She could be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
To me, that's a frightening thing.
Yeah, and that's what makes this vice presidential go-round more important than usual, right? Because normally it makes no difference who the nominee is. It's just not going to change anything. But the reality is that really she's running the Harris-Biden administration, as they both have said. And, well, hey, we'll just see what happens. This is why we have elections, and everybody makes their own decision, and that's that. Hey, as far as sectors that are hot, we've seen the NASDAQ, the FANG stock, really take a break, huh?
Yeah, they've been on a little bit of a pause, you know, recently. I mean, they're bouncing around, chopping around, but I have to say, even today, you have the NASDAQ Composite and the NASDAQ 100 only up about 0.4%. The real winner these days has been the small cap. Russell 2000 just continues to soar. Even today, it's up 1.17% as we speak right now. So the Russell has been the outperformer. But you're right, the FANG stocks, I mean, they've chopped around. They're not even getting near their highs from early September. Apple has been chopping around, has not gotten up there. Not to say that it can't get back there, but Google's another one. And then you look at Facebook. Facebook's having a good day today. It's up $4.80. But again, they're well off their highs from early September, and they have not been able to get back up there. Meanwhile, when you look at small caps, Russell 2000, that has already exceeded its September and August top. So the Russell is leading the charge, and I think the Russell right now is powerhouse behind this market move, and that's always a good sign. So if you want to be in the market, you want to see the Russell's lead small cap companies in the United States. That's the Russell 2000 represents, and that is really, really showing very, very good relative strength right now. And remember, investors, when they buy the Russell, those small caps, they're looking for growth. They're not buying these stocks for dividends like they do the Dow or even a lot of NASDAQ stocks now that also pay dividends.
Yeah, great point. So the Russell, really, that tells you a lot then when you see it start to lead the indices. And should note, it's since the recovery of the market, it's really been the loser index, hasn't it?
Yeah, the Russell was a laggard for such a long time, and now it's starting to show leadership. Now, let's you know, put in perspective, it's still not above its January 2000 high, but on a relative basis, over on a weekly and daily chart, the Russell is outperforming everything now. And that's always a positive.
Yeah, always a positive, and I guess we can look forward probably to more of this, huh?
Yeah, I think the Russell still has more in the tank here. Just looking at the way it's moving right now, you'll probably get a little bit of backing filling at the moment because it's a bit overbought on a daily chart. I think it's been up about 10 days in a row almost, or you know, maybe one down day out of 10. So we'll probably get a little back filling, but momentum here here is probably, decently higher. I'd say another 4 or 5% higher easily.
Yeah, you think it could go 4 or 5% higher?
Yeah. The charts are very strong right now, and I haven't, I don't really talk about the Russell being that special, but it's looking very, very good right now. But we do need a pullback. We do need a little consolidation there. But the Russell chart is impressive right now.
All right. So gold and silver, they started the day up, and now they're down.
Yeah. So if you take a look at gold today, they were up about $10. Gold futures were up about $10 earlier. Now they're basically flat, up about 80 cents. I don't think we should make much out of it. You look at silver, that's kind of flat as well. This is what you're going to get right now. Backing and filling. This is what we talked about, Terry, on the chart. I think I sent you that chart showing you a potential inside bar pattern on a big time frame. And again, that's the setup you want to see. But it takes time for these setups to work themselves out. And right now it's still in that configuration or formation where it needs more time. So I call it baking in the oven. That's what it is.
Yeah, baking in the oven. I like the analogy. And you know that it's going to rise and eventually be ready to be served, I guess, to carry the analogy through to a fault. So overall trading strategy, we know this has been a really difficult time because it's been so choppy and directionless. When will we know that the the lack of direction is over and we'll start seeing more opportunities to enter?
Yeah, I think it'll be more around the election or, as we get into the latter part of October. So, we get through the middle part of October into the latter part of October, you'll start to see some formations come. I'm already starting to see formations developing on the charts right now. It's very, very tough in my business because everybody wants to trade. That's all they want to do is take trades, trades, trades. Nobody wants to sit and be patient like the legendary trader Jesse Livermore used to say. There's a time to be long, time to be short, the time to go fishing. This is that time to go fishing. But what that really means is you're looking at the chart and you're just waiting for the setup to occur. And once they occur, I think you're going to get a great opportunity. But I'm leaning more towards around the election. Might even be a slight bit before the election, in my opinion.
All right. Well, that's reasonable. And like you've said, for the better part of a month, caution is definitely the byword here.
Yeah, it has. And I've said that. We had a 10% correction in the NASDAQ. People don't realize it, but September 2nd, in the NASDAQ, it topped out. And then the NASDAQ was the big winner of the year. And it rolled over. I mean, you went from basically a NASDAQ high of 12,000 all the way down to around 10,500. So, that happened all within a couple of weeks. I mean, that was a dramatic rollover. Now the NASDAQ has recovered a little bit, but it's not back at that high. And I think you're still going to get more backing and filling here. So you got to be careful. I've avoided a lot of the leading tech stocks for that reason. And I've put my money elsewhere. I've been in boring things like Coca-Cola. I took profit in Coca-Cola today. And a nice profit at that, a little over 4% short order. And I moved my stop to break even. I let that second half run. I took a couple winners and some options yesterday and today. But this is a grind. This is a grind. Got to really know the charts. If you don't know the charts, really going to be dead in the water right now.
Yep, it's a grind. I think that really sums it up well. Hey, what are the housing, what's the housing stock? What are they doing?
Yeah, so the home builders have been very, very strong. They're holding up pretty well, but they're a little bit extended right now on chart. So if you take a look at some of the leaders like Lennar, that's up $2.73 today, but that's pulled back the last 3 days on a shallow pullback. So that's very healthy. That's what you want to see. You want to see these home builders stall out a little bit because they're way too high on the chart. They've gotten a little bit what we call parabolic. I know you know that term very well.
Oh, yes.
And they're going to need to do some backfilling. But the trend is up. And they're still very, very strong at this point in time. But they definitely are slowing down up here at these levels because they are lofty. And when you get those parabolic moves, you're on borrowed time.
All right. And yeah, obviously, it's a contrary play, too. We really thought that after the crash and everything else, economic disruption, home builders would get killed. And yet they've been the big winners.
They have been one of the best performers of the year. And when you think about it, people are relocating. I mean, you see it going on all over the place. I've never seen Florida, or at least in my area where I live, and I'm on the coast, Tampa Bay, I've never seen so many moving trucks pulling in. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, their house goes up for sale in my neighborhood, it's gone about 24 hours.
Hey, and even in those blue states, the housing market is surprisingly strong, like places like California. And I'm not sure about New York. Outside of Manhattan, market's been very strong in New York. And I guess where I am here in Florida, I'm in northern Palm Beach County, they cannot build these homes fast enough. They really can't.
I've never seen anything like it. Speaking of New York, my brother works in the city, but lives in Long Island. And he told me if he puts his house up tomorrow, he could put it up for any price and it'll be sold. And they can't keep houses in Long Island right now because people just want to get out of the city. Mayor de Blasio.
Yeah, well, he's basically kryptonite to the real estate market in the city.
Yeah, he's really killed the development there and culture there. And again, hopefully people wake up a little bit and see that stuff. But again, I think that that's a big catalyst for all of these housing stocks and not only the housing stocks but the logistic companies that are movers. I mean, they've done very, very well also in this environment.
Yeah, I'd say the moving companies are movers and shakers, huh?
They certainly are.
Yeah, it's just amazing that, like, in every collapse, Nick, there's always winners and there's always losers. And we know very well those losers are, but the winners can be very surprising, can't they?
Yeah, and that's why you always want to just watch that money rotation. See where it is, and a lot of times it'll just go into somewhere else. And again, another surprising area that has done well also is retail. Retail stocks, who would think? But retail stocks have really emerged lately, and they've been showing signs of life now. So the couple places that I think are still really stalled out is energy. I mean, I think as Joe Biden has gone up in the polls, so to speak, so they tell us, you see that solar stocks have been very hot. Take a look at PAN, look at some stocks like First Solar and a bunch of others. They've done really well because everybody knows if he wins, we're going to the new Green Deal of some sort. And again, they've been very, very hot. But energy has been very, very weak. Now, I think if Joe Biden does not win, I think energy is the spot where you got
to. Hey, and I'm inclined to agree with you because regardless, dirty energy, regardless of the trend towards being energy, for lack of a better term, I don't really necessarily view electric as green energy, but solar, wind, it's never going to replace, at least not until the cost of battery storage, offline storage, really come down about another 50 to 75%. We're stuck with the hydrocarbon-based energy for the foreseeable future. And there's a billion and a half cars out there. Right now, the auto industry, light trucks, autos, 80 million units to 90 million a year in good years. And you're going to have to see massive capacity. Otherwise, you're looking at a 20-year replacement cycle for the internal combustion engines, and they're still selling them. That's still far and away the majority of new vehicles are ICE engines. So we have a lot more to go before we make the shift, although I do agree with those of you out there who think that the shift is inevitable. I think regardless who's president, that's where we're heading.
Yeah, but people don't realize that you need oil for a lot of different things. I'm not a big fan of pollution. I recycle and things like that, but I mean, oil is in everything, all of your plastics, it's in your tires, it's in everything that you use has some form of oil. And just to think that you're just going to completely get off of that is crazy. So you can tell that Vice President Pence did pretty well last night because the energy stocks are up today across the board.
Yep. And the only election where the vice presidential pick actually made a difference was perhaps with the Kennedy picking Johnson, and he enabled the Texas to go Kennedy, which probably wouldn't have otherwise done. And then, of course, we know what happened with Illinois. LBJ was the master vote harvester for his time. But today's Democrats got nothing on LBJ.
We'll see. This is going to be something. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait till it's over, to be honest. But
Me too. I got better ways to waste my time than watching this cluster. You know what? It's just like watching the Indy 500 and waiting for somebody to hit the barrier and blow up and hopefully escape with their lives. But hey, time will tell. In any event, make sure you go over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com, for his trading record. A lot of valuable infos on that site for free. And while you're at it, take a look at the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Send us your emails. Really appreciate getting them. Maybe tomorrow we'll spend a little bit of time, Nick, on some emails that I've stored up. A lot of trading questions, a lot of market timing questions. People seem to really, I don't want to say be confused, but need clarification on timing and entering and exiting the market. But get to them hopefully tomorrow or Monday. In any event, Nick, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Kerry. Thank you.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, @ITMS and @NickSantiago01.